listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Again, today we are live at the Auto Farm Ford location celebrating a grand opening. It's not too often we take Drive Time Sports out on the road, but even doing so, we're still able to bring in some great guests over the phone, including Steve Bordstein, a great friend of mine. He's also the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, and also the host of the Fast Track, and that's what we're going to talk about for this particular segment. Coming up tomorrow, we have a very interesting showdown as Justify, who is currently the favorite to pick up the win in the Preakness, will go toe-to-toe with Good Magic, the same horse that he beat by about 2.5 lengths at the Kentucky Derby just a couple of weeks ago. Steve, a pleasure to get you on the show to talk some more horse racing. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. The only thing that's going to be a fast track tomorrow at Pimlico is how fast the rain falls, because looks like we're on track for another muddy day at in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm glad you started with that, because Pimlico track, it's shorter than Churchill Downs at 9.5 furlongs, which is down from a 10 furlong track at the Derby. So with that being said, in the weather and considering everything, all the variables that go into it, what can we expect as far as the biggest difference between the two tracks?
Well, Churchill Downs rain and Pimlico rain are very different types of rain. You say to yourself, well, how is that different? It's water falling on dirt. Well, Churchill Downs is a slower course when it rains. It typically turns into what some people refer to as like peanut butter. It holds its water very well. So it turns into this kind of very, very muddy, deeper kind of course at Churchill Downs. Now, it drains exceptionally well, but as rain falls on it, it has a difficult time doing that, obviously. Pimlico's a little different. Pimlico's essentially like, imagine a regular street with water falling on it. It's still very fast. It's very slick. It's not dangerous, but it's faster. So that only plays into the hands of a horse like Justify, who's going to be on or near the front end every step of the way. So whereas Justify probably got a rainy track that he liked, a muddy track that he liked, which obviously we knew that going in because he'd already won over a muddy track at Santa Anita earlier this year in his three-year-old campaign, he's going to like this one probably even more because it's a little bit less, it's a little less slower. It's a little less muddy. It's a little less deeper. So it's actually the kind of track he should like more.
How impressed were you with Justify out of the Kentucky Derby, considering the fact that we haven't had someone a horse not race as a two-year-old breaking the curse of the Apollo, which I believe it was 1982, if memory serves me right. How impressed were you with the overall performance and, of course, the history that Justify did make the Kentucky Derby?
I was impressed with the professionalism he showed 8 minutes before the race ever started. You know, you got to remember, 3 races in his career, and he's only been on the racetrack in front of maybe crowds of 10,000-15,000 people, as opposed to the 160,000 that were on hand at Churchill Downs. And then you watched him out of the starting gate. He got the perfect trip. I mean, you hear the perfect trip all the time, and it sounds, some people can say the perfect trip, and it almost sounds like you're negating the horse a little bit or downplaying his performance. This is a horse who had only run 3 times. This is a horse who had every reason to bounce to the moon, considering all the circumstances that were in his way, and he didn't. He absolutely broke perfect, he settled perfect, and he rallied perfect. And I can't underscore enough how much I think that has to do with Mike Smith, who maybe any other jockey, and I don't mean to sound bad about a guy like Victor Espinoza, who's won multiple derbies, or Javier Castellano, or John Velasquez, any of the other jockeys, they probably don't do the same thing. Mike Smith was as cool as a cucumber. He was patient, he was tactical, he was precise. And I think this combination, this horse and rider combination, maybe we haven't seen that since California Chrome, because Chrome got along very well with Victor Espinoza. He worked under Victor Espinoza, and I think what we're seeing is that same kind of relationship between Mike Smith and Justify.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein, the host of the Fast Track and also First Sports. We'll talk about those shows in just a minute. And we are live at the Auto Farm Price Auto Group's Ford location for their grand opening. Talking about what's in store tomorrow at the Preakness, Steve, you take a look at the odds, and it seems like there's Justify, there's Good Magic, and then there's everyone else.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way it's going to play out as far as the wagering is concerned. You know, if you're a gambler, if you're betting on the race, the question is, you know, can Good Magic be justified? Yeah, but he has to do something he hasn't been able to do yet, and that is pass this horse. He hasn't been able to do that. And if you look at his losses, he seemingly gets into these positions where he doesn't pass horses. You look at his loss in the Fountain of Youth Stakes, he didn't go by a single horse. Now, he did that in the Bluegrass, but I would argue the Bluegrass field probably wasn't that great a field to begin with. He was the 8-5 overwhelming favorite that day, and he won handily. But can he go by? Can he go by Justify when we know full well that Justify already has two wins on off tracks and will get that same kind of trip? I don't know if he's going to be able to close 2.5 grounds and then be able to put away Justify. That being said, Good Magic's clearly the second best horse in the race. You mentioned the odds. Justify 1-2 in the morning line. Good Magic 3-1. If you're looking for kind of an outsider, maybe to close that gap or maybe jump up there, maybe split the exacta, finish your trifecta, there's an interesting horse in there called Tenfold, who was off the board last time out in the Arkansas Derby, but he's a horse who should relish the off track. If anyone's going to jump up here, it'll be number 6, Tenfold. He's 20-1 of the morning line, but if you look at his pedigree, by Curlin out of a Tappet mare, an exceptional off-track breeding here, and a horse who could be able to run all day. Now, you look at the off-the-board performance in the Arkansas Derby, I would argue he's probably gotten better since that race. Steve Asmussen has won the Preakness before. He won it several years ago with Rachel Alexandra. He knows what it takes to win the Preakness. I would argue that Tenfold, probably a very interesting player, and I think you're going to get a pretty much, maybe not 20-1, but you're going to get 15-1 on number 6, Tenfold, who I think is an interesting player.
You know, last week when you and I, or 2 weeks ago, Steve, when you and I talked about the Kentucky Derby, we talked about how interesting the field really was. Is it down, in your opinion, when you take a look at what we have with the Preakness this year compared to previous years?
Well, it is, and I think the Preakness always gets that. I think the Preakness always gets downgraded a little bit because if you don't win the Derby, what's the point of coming back in 2 weeks to try again? When the Triple Crown trail, the campaign to get to the Derby is hard enough. Then you settle in with all the stuff that goes on leading up to the race, the connections, the horse itself, all the shipping that goes into it. Why come back in 2 weeks? Which is why I think you see so many new shooters come in for the Preakness Stakes. Now, if Justify wins tomorrow, then you're going to see a bunch of these Derby horses come back for the Belmont. Why? Belmont's a bigger race day. The Belmont day itself is a bigger day. There's 9 stakes races. It's nationally televised. It's a big deal. Pimlico has also the issue of it, the fact that it's Pimlico. And a lot of trainers typically stay away from Pimlico. It's a short racing season. There's really no reason to go there if you didn't win the Derby. I think it's great that Good Magic is here. But if Good Magic's connections had decided, we'll just wait till the Belmont or some other race, I wouldn't have blamed them. I think the problem with the Preakness, and this is not saying we need to change the Triple Crown or we need to alter the schedule of the Triple Crown, because no, Triple Crown is supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. I like the fact that 6 other, 7 other horses, newbies to this whole thing, if you will, with the exception of Good Magic and Bravazo, I like the fact that there's other new shooters in here. I think that's what the Triple Crown should be. Horses that maybe took a bump along the road, couldn't get to the Derby for whatever reason, but take their swing in the Preakness Stakes. So I like that.
When we look at the history of Bob Baffert, again, he's won the Preakness Stakes 6 times, but he's also had 4 horses, if I'm not mistaken, right, win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Silver Charm, Real Quiet, War Emblem, and American Pharoah. I believe those are the 4 that have done it.
Yep, that is correct. And you had to bring up Point Given, didn't you?
had to bring up Point Given. Had to bring it.
because that's the one that should have won the Triple Crown.
Yes.
That's the one that should have absolutely won the whole thing. And if it wasn't for Gary Stevens blowing the ride the Kentucky Derby, he would have won the Triple Crown.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, Point Given, I think when you go back and you take a look at some of the horses that could have won the Triple Crown, at least recently, Steve, for maybe even the casual fan, you'll remember Big Brown, but it's Point Given is the one that I don't think gets talked about enough among casual fans, because he didn't win the Kentucky Derby.
He and Spectacular Bid, they're the two that, you know, they should have won the Triple Crown. If Spectacular Bid doesn't lose the Belmont, he wins the Triple Crown. Point Given, if he doesn't lose the belt, the Derby, he wins the Triple Crown. Those are the two that I always go back to as some of the greatest colossal oh, wow, what could have been moments there. And if anyone has, if anyone is unfamiliar with Point Given, he won the Preakness, he won the Belmont. If he doesn't get shut off at the 5/8 pole at Churchill Downs, he wins the Kentucky Derby. Go back and watch that race. You can find it on YouTube, and you'll see exactly what I mean. But that's arguably, in my lifetime, the greatest horse never to win the Triple Crown.
Now, I did mention, and I hate this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway, so forgive me. But I did mention Silver Charm, Real Quiet, War Emblem, and American Pharoah. From what you saw in the Kentucky Derby, where would you say Justify fits in with those four outstanding horses?
Wow. I'm going to say War Emblem, because of all the Derby winners of War, of all the Derby winners from Bob Baffert, War Emblem was a horse who we didn't really know a lot about going in. And when he won the Derby, we kind of looked around, I remember looking around at each other like, how did we miss this? And I think it's the way we are right now with Justify, because he didn't race it too. So it brings up the question of, well, was he hurt? Did he have some issues? Why didn't he race it too? And then he just sort of burst on the scene here. And a lot of people are going to point at Bob Baffert's barn that if McKenzie early in the year doesn't get hurt, there was a two-year-old that he had, that if that horse doesn't get hurt, was Justify even the best three-year-old in Bob Baffert's barn? So, I mean, even like 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we never even heard of Justify. He was a maiden winner. No one thought of him as the Kentucky Derby winner. Baffert had other shooters in the barn that were presumably better. So I think it's a fair comparison to War Emblem. But now, to War Emblem's credit, he went up to win the Preakness, and everyone thought, oh, okay, he's the next big thing. I don't know if we can compare him to American Pharoah, because we knew what American Pharoah was when he won the Arkansas Derby. I don't think you can compare him to Silver Char, because Silver Char was a freak. Silver Char was an amazing horse even before the Kentucky Derby. So I think the War Emblem comparison is quite good.
All right, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot. How's this one shake out tomorrow?
Justify wins the Preakness, and then we have all the hype and hyperbole to see if Bob Baffert can become the second, only the first trainer in the history of the Triple Crown to win the Triple Crown, not in consecutive years, but in consecutive order of Triple Crown winners. He'd be the first trainer ever to do it. He had American Pharoah, obviously, back in 2015. And then let the hype begin. I would, if you're playing the race, if you're gambling on the race, I would use two horses in your exactas. I would use Good Magic, obviously, but I would also throw in Tenfold, because I think he's going to run a bang-up race. And if you're looking for another horse, like deeper in your exotics, an interesting one might be the one-horse Quip. Quip ran second of the Arkansas Derby. Kind of small, kind of low-rated connections. We don't know a lot about them yet, but I thought that Arkansas Derby came back to be a pretty good race. So I would play the race with Justify on top. You can use them, single them in all your pick threes, your pick fours. I think that's the way to go there. But if you're playing deeper exotics, I would use the 1, 5, and 6 underneath.
Steve Bordstein, again, he is the host of First Sports and also the Fast Track in Farmington, New Mexico on Fox Sports 1340. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
First Sports of the Morning airs weekdays, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. And, of course, you can hear that and the Fast Track, which airs weekends at 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can hear them online through the iHeartRadio app. Just download the iHeartRadio app to your smartphone or wireless device. And you can hear us live every weekday and weekend morning at foxsports1340.com. That's our website. And you can hear the Fast Track in First Sports every day. And, of course, if you want to follow me through social media, you can do that quite easily on Twitter at Fox1340 AM.
That's Steve Bordstein. Definitely appreciate the time. Hey, Turner is friend. We can end with that today, right? We can agree.
We can agree Turner's friend. We cannot agree that Puig is always our friend. We can definitely agree Turner is our friend. We can definitely agree to that. And bring on Manny Machado.
I'm with you 100%. Steve, again, thank you so much for the time today.
You bet. My pleasure.
All right. We have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Again, we are live at the Auto Forum Price Auto Group as we celebrate their grand opening. More coming up right after this.